So you're going to be at the Old School Arts Centre this Sunday, performing with Parabola West, who's a local artist, and you're bringing us something kind of a little bit different, aren't you?
Well, yeah. it's kind of, in a nutshell, it's music that's been made using Aotearoa native birdsong. So my band, I mean, I'm a solo artist, but you could say my band in inverted commas is a tui and a kōkako and a korimako and a, yeah, various other local strange creatures.
But they're obviously they're not there. So that you've got, I mean, I guess it's like a backing, and then you sing to that as well.
Yeah. So I use what they call Ableton Live, which is a piece of software that kind of triggers various samples. So what I did was, yeah, I recorded the native birds in situ and in predator free sanctuaries, and then I cut them up and put them all together to create the music, and then when I perform, I trigger that as a backing, and then I perform my vocals and I add on guitar and double bass and theremin and other instruments to flesh out the rest of the song.
So where did you start and how did you get here with that? Like, this, no one else is doing this, so, or that I'm aware of anyway. How does it all come about?
It's a long story, a long time in the making. I'm originally from Slovakia. My family moved here when I was 8 years old. So I very vividly remember the first time I heard a tui.
Yeah.
And just how different it is from European birds. At first I didn't actually believe it was a bird.
Mm.
The sounds that I heard were just so strange and creative and just incredibly, you know, diverse. And it just made such an impact on me at the time. And then years later, I've been a musician my whole life. I kind of had this idea, you know, how can I capture that sound in my music here? And I tried replicating it with other instruments, but I just simply couldn't. It was the bird sound itself was just so unique and creative. And I thought, well, the only way I can think of doing this is to actually record them and sample them and put them into the music as an instrument, as the backing, the drums, basically. The tui is mainly the rhythmic percussive sounds. I had to learn how to do this. Initially, my journey as a musician was more traditional. I learned guitar and bass and so on, and I studied jazz at university. But then I had to learn all the audio production side of things, which led me to Mainz in Auckland. And I spent about a year there just learning how to record and how to produce electronic music, because that's kind of what it is, except all the sounds are organic.
So you did that, you went to Mainz specially so you could find out how to incorporate the bird sounds into the music.
Specifically for this project, yeah. They were very, very helpful and accommodating, and, they lent me a whole bunch of high-end audio gear to actually go and record on Tere Tere Matangi, because I had to have a special microphone. So I'm very thankful for the people at Mainz, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So look, this might be a good time now then. I'm just going to play a little bit of Strange Creatures, which is one of your tracks, and I'm just going to sort of start about the 220 mark so people can get a feel for just a little feel for what we're talking about.
Some of us have feathers, but forgot how to fly. Some of us sleep all day and stay up all night. Some of us are fierce, some of us are wise. We all gotta work together if we wanna survive.
We are strange creatures, curiosities. We are strange creatures.
All right, so there's Strange Creatures by Henneke. And Henneke, can you tell us, remind us now that we've heard it, what each bird sound is doing in the song?
Yeah, so the as I mentioned, the tui is most of the drums that you hear, so that kind of sound, that's that snare drum, that's a tui.
Right.
Then you've got that sort of melodic hook on top, which is the korimako. And then layered in there, there's a sort of a chordal harmony, which is the kōkako layered up. So I took one kōkako call and then I put it in the software and I tuned it and I created like a chord. And that's the harmonic basis. And the bass line, that was the most, that was the biggest challenge because obviously most birds make quite, you know, high pitched sounds. Finding something that was going to fill out the low end was always going to be a challenge. But, it's actually the kākāpō mating call.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
That deep,
yes.
Booming, boom, boom sound. And, yeah, and then, you know, I've added in, obviously, my own vocals, layered up, so that fills out a lot of the space. Oh, and one thing as well that features quite prominently, which isn't a bird, is the cicada. That's kind of the hi-hat.
Yes. Yeah, the cicada. We know the cicada sound in this country. So you must just, did you spend a lot of time traipsing around the bush picking up bird sounds? And did you get the kākāpō, or did some of them you have to just go and get a pre-recorded bit?
Yeah, with the kākāpō, I didn't have access to them. I tried very hard to you know, get down to a whenua ho or one of the much more limited access predatory free sanctuaries to record them myself. But I wasn't able to do that one. What it is one of the famous RNZ recordings, and then what I did was I synthesized it a bit. Obviously, is the kākāpō is not quite so tuneful, so I had to add a bit to it to make it work. But most of them are from Tiriti Matangi, so I spent 3 days and nights there. There's actually a dock hut on the island. You can stay there, and I highly recommend to anyone to do that because it's super cheap. I mean, you know, it's bunk beds, but you get the experience of waking up pre-dawn and then hearing the dawn chorus, which is one of the most remarkable things I've ever heard in my life. Just the whole island comes alive with the sound of just so many. It's just a cacophony. It's so loud. It lasts about an hour, and it's just, yeah.
And I presume you've got recordings of that.
Yes, I do. So one of the tracks on my album is called Dawn Chorus, and it is the opening track. And, yeah, it was... The song was already there because all the different birds were singing different parts and it all came together as a composition. So what I did was I didn't just take the birds and create an instrument out of them and then write songs. I took what they were singing and I wrote the song around that. That's what's inspired it because that was a much more interesting way of doing it, I thought. And it was just so musical already. You know, there was a pattern in there that I could hear, and all I had to do was just you know, make the timing a little bit more consistent, push it around a bit, so I could then add other parts. The birds wrote the music. I just added some lyrics and some vocals, basically.
And does that lend itself to a genre, or is it a new genre? Like, how's that kind of played out?
That's a good question. I have no idea. I mean, it's genre-wise, I suppose every track is a little bit different. I have a pretty eclectic taste in music anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, that comes through. But, some of it ranges from sort of jazz-inspired to more folky, bluesy. The kōkako, when I listen to the kōkako call, it just reminds me of blues. Blues guitar or that kind of mournful, slidey, glissando sort of sound, it fits in with a blues context. And, you know, I play a slide guitar along with that, and that was a track, and it's quite open and folky and bluesy. And there's another track that's almost hip-hop, which quite, you know, it's totally different genre. And
what bird is the hip-hop? What bird is the hip-hop bird?
So the hip-hop bird is the riroriro,
right.
The grey warbler.
Right.
Which makes it kind of it looped so well, this call. It's a very common call. You hear it in the summertime. And it just fit with a hip-hop beat, and then it just it just went from there. I never expected to write a hip-hop song, but it just I just went with what the inspiration of each song is, its own little world, its own little story, but it's all tied together by the message of conservation and the bird sounds. And I think it kind of, yeah, it's a concept album, I suppose.
And I guess the most famous sound is kind of that bellbird sound for the New Zealand bush. I presume that's in there somewhere.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, the bellbird, the Korymarkle is very heavily featured throughout. That's probably the most of the melodic hooks come from the Korymarkle, I think, and the tui kind of together. Sometimes I couldn't tell which one was which. I'm not as much as I learned about, you know, birds, I'm still not an expert. I couldn't tell you exactly which one's which, but I can tell you which ones sound cool.
that must be the, I mean, I haven't been to every forest in the world and listened to all their birds, but it must be one of the most unique things about this country, our
Absolutely.
Forest and that sound. Yeah,
I think so. And I think a lot of Kiwis take it for granted. And I just hope that through this project people will start listening more to the sounds around them and, you know, appreciate it for what it is. Because, I guess because I came from somewhere else and I kind of noticed it, it has value to me in that way, but I think it should have the same value to all Kiwis. And, you know, the message is we have to do something to protect it or it will be gone.
Mm. And are you going around planting native plants now to attract the birds as well? Have you got somewhere you live permanently where it's worth doing that?
Yeah. I'm going to plant some kawhai trees this year. I've got a bunch of manuka coming up. Yeah, the more of these trees you bring back, the more the birds will come back too.
Yeah, we do have one. I walk to work every morning, there is a little place going down the steep part of Bow Street here where there are some native plants, and there's often a tui in the trees there.
Mm.
And it's because you see starlings and sparrows everywhere when you're in town. I do notice them when they're out, and they're out. They seem to be out most mornings. It might only be one bird, but I always enjoy when I do notice it.
Yeah, it is magical.
Yeah. There was one another technical question I wanted. As someone who edits sound a little bit, not into music, but did you have trouble isolating the bird sounds when you were in a place that was just full of bird sound? Did you need to get like that perfectly isolated sound for each species?
Sometimes I wanted, you know, I would like a background sound where it was all the other birds as well and that all fit together. But yes, sometimes I did want an isolated bird. And the way I did that, I had, when they make films, the shotgun microphone, the kind of boom mic that they use to isolate the dialogue.
The very directional.
I used the same kind of thing. And I just tried to point at the birds as closely as possible. But fortunately, evolution was on my side because birds, you know, evolved for their calls to be clear and loud. And it actually wasn't that hard to isolate individual birds, especially when I got relatively close to them. And on Te Tiriti Matangi, you can, because they have all these feeding stations all around the island with, sugar water or something like that in them. And there are just so many birds around there. And I just waited. I just had my microphone running, you know, recorder running the whole time. And I just waited. And eventually I got one clear individual, one of this one and another one of that one. The biggest thing was wind and other noises, you know, other people talking. But the beauty of Te Tiriti Matangi was that it's an island sanctuary, and I made sure to go there at a time when I knew there wouldn't be many other tourists. And, yeah, I was very fortunate on the weather as well. There was no rain and wind when I was there, so it all just worked out really well.
And what was the thing I was just going to ask about that? Oh, presumably you're far enough away. There's no, like if you're in a, like here, if everything goes quiet, it doesn't go quiet because there's a machine hum somewhere,
or the
distant roar of truck tires on the road. I presume you're far enough away to avoid all that.
Yeah, that's right. It's just like being deep in the bush. I experienced because I didn't get all my recordings on Te Reti Matangi. I did a few just around my own house. There's a Mōpō Karuru that lives up in the tree just up from my house that I really wanted to capture. And I was doing this in the middle of the night. And even in the middle of the night, you can hear noise from the road or something. And it was tricky.
Yeah, you might have to do some tricky technical things digitally to it, and then it's never quite the same.
Yeah.
You never get that kind of pure sound. So what's the reception been like for this work that you've done?
Very positive. Tricky because of COVID, obviously. I actually released the album last year during the second big lockdown. So, you know, I couldn't go out and tour it, and the tour starts this weekend. So I'm going to really see now what the reception is going to be like by the numbers of the people who come to see it and, you know, the comments. But, it's the sort of thing that's a little bit difficult to categorize, I suppose. Some of the publicists were like, oh, well, I'm not quite sure what to do with this.
Yeah.
So what is it? But other people were like, oh, wow, what an original idea. I can't believe no one's done that so far. So,
yeah, when your email when your email first came through to the station, I'm like, well, we're definitely going to do this interview.
We've
got to find out more about this, how it happened and all of that. Have you been submitted to the music critics at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I've had some very positive reviews from elsewhere.co.nz, you know, Graham Reed. He's been very supportive. And, yeah, you know, it's so hard to get press these days. I mean, there's so many other brilliant artists out there who are trying to get it. So, you know, I don't place a lot on things like that. It's more my interaction with the punters at the gig. And that's why I'm so excited about doing this tour, because that's the best criticism, is the people who come and see me and you know, say something afterwards, and that's the stuff that really matters to me, not you know, bigwig critics.
Yeah, okay, cool. God, I was thinking that if anyone was going to be harsh, that tends to be where it comes from. But I see you're starting at the Navarra Lounge on Saturday. That's the first. Is that going to be your first live performance?
No. I have had. I was fortunate enough to fit in one festival before the Omicron outbreak at the start of the year. Last day of the year last year was Orm, the Auckland Music Festival, which was a great thing. It just really fit into a festival vibe. And it's quite a hippie sort of festival, so I think it was the right sort of audience for that. And I've done a couple in Auckland, you know, just smaller clubs, just to get warmed up for this. So, yeah.
And I mean, how is it compared to, like, you've played music presumably with bands and that sort of thing in the more conventional way? It's all resting on your shoulders this time. Are you more nervous, or is it you just get into the groove again?
Well, in some ways it's harder and in some ways it's easier. It's just a different sort of thing. It was a very long technical learning curve. Buying all the right gear, because no one was doing quite what I'm doing. So to figure out how to actually put it all together took quite some time and some experimenting. So, you know, I my equipment would be working for me. And just for me to get to know, you know, do it enough times so I don't press the wrong button, because if I press the wrong button, oh dear, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas with a band, you know, you stuff up, then they should be good enough to hear that and follow you, and it's all right. But a little bit more trepidation with just when you're just with the equipment. But I think I've got a handle on it now. Touch wood. But yeah, with a band, you know, I love playing with a band, and I will again.
Yeah.
For my next project, I'll do something different. But, you know, then there's the how difficult it is to organize it.
Yeah.
Finding a rehearsal time and getting enough people together and holding a band. I mean, one of the reasons why I kind of went down this road is I had a band before who was great, but it was just so hard to keep it together, and I wasn't playing often enough for it to be worthwhile for them. So I just thought, okay, well, there's so much technology out there, I'm going to explore this and see what it's like. But I do miss playing with a band too.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think you'll do more, or have you've got this out of your system, or you think you'll do more music like this?
I think there's always going to be an element of natural sounds in what I do, but I don't think I'll do the birds thing more as intensively as I've done it. I think I've pretty much exhausted the concept for now.
Okay.
Now that I've explored the idea of being able to use any sound in my music, not just limited to the instruments that I play or other conventional instruments, I think there's always going to be an element of some field recording or some kind of, you know, other sounds.
Yeah, I think with the technology that's available to everyone on a laptop now, I think that's what the biggest development in music over the last few years has just been.
Absolutely.
That people can just sort of mess around to their heart's content and produce all sorts of things that haven't been done before.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever sound you can possibly imagine, and then things you could never imagine. I mean, there's all these now there's all these AI sound generators and just things. Yeah, the possibilities are endless, and it's very inspiring. Yeah.
Did the music the creation of the music take you in different directions that you weren't expecting? Is that kind of how the creative process worked?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I've got a fairly clear idea of what I want from the get-go, and other times, you know, I think I'll have a clear idea, but then it starts to change into something else. And I think one of the biggest things you have to learn as an artist is when to let go and go with it and explore something completely new, or when to kind of stick to your guns and be like, no, I've got to do this one thing and realize this one vision. It's always that's just being, I think, creative is that, I don't want to say it's a battle. It is a battle. At times it is like a real struggle. And at other times, it seems to kind of happen on its own. I've written whole songs in a couple of hours, and other times I've agonized over songs for years. So you never know what you're going to get.
And can people, now just to the technical details, you're on Sunday, if I got that right?
Yep, Sunday at 7 p.m. at the
old school,
the larger theatre, yeah, at Raglan Old School Arts Centre, and with Parabola West, who I'm sure you've probably had on
many times. Yes,
she's an incredibly inspiring artist, and I've played with her one time before in Auckland several years ago. So I am very much looking forward to seeing her perform again. Yeah,
and
I don't think she's done a gig since pre-COVID. So
I saw her at the old school, but I can't remember when it was. It feels like close. Maybe it was between lockdowns or something. I'm not really sure. I have to be honest.
But it's been a while.
Yeah, can people just turn up, or do they need to book ahead? What's the story?
There'll be door sales.
Okay.
There'll be door sales. But if you want to get your ticket ahead of time, it's on undertheradar.co.nz.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. That is the way to do it, people, but you have to understand Raglan, we do tend to make our minds up at the last minute.
Understandable.
Yeah, it's just kind of what I tend to warn artists that, like, don't be dismayed if the ticket sales don't look like they're going fast, because everyone will just turn up at the last minute and it'll all be good. Yeah, yeah. Hey, look, Henneke, it's been really fascinating talking to you this morning, and I hope you have a good show. And
thank you.
And I hope that one day you do go back to it and kind of expand on it, because I imagine like this is a, you know, after a while you might just, new things will come from it and evolve from it. You know, that's kind of what I'd be interested to see. Yeah, yeah.
These things have their own life.
They do. Yeah. All right. Well, look, thank you for your time this morning, and have a good gig here in Raglan.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, that was Henneke there, and playing with Parabola West at the Old School Arts Centre on Sunday, 7 o'clock. And we've got time, so we're going to go and play the rest of that track, which was called Strange Creatures. And we're just playing off the YouTube video, so you could check that out. You go to henneke.co to check this out.
us how strong we are. We don't even try.
We are strange creatures. Curiosities. We are strange creatures. Just wanna live on. Just wanna be free.
Change no matter what you believe.
We are